The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Wasn't even the movie, doesn't matter.
Hello everyone, it's 4am once again, and that means it's time for the 4am podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I'm your host as always, Tony. Joining me today is
Brian.
And
Paul won't even show up.
I'm Jet Jaguar.
Like, literally,
oh, I know.
The levels on the...
It'll be great.
I hate you so much. All right. So...
That would have changed this movie quite a bit.
If Jet Jaguar showed up.
If the Ford Fuckface Kid just grew to the giant size.
If the what?
Ford Fuckface Kid just grew...
See, yeah, we did Godzilla. Hold on. Okay. Yeah. Which Godzilla did we do?
2014.
Oh, not the one with Matthew Broderick.
No, that'll be a special episode. A more special episode. A
very special episode. The most special episode of
all. Tony, what's wrong, Tony?
You all right?
So the king will rise.
Maybe to play the song again.
Oh, please do. You got it queued up?
I'm not going to try and sing.
Can I be Ultraman if you're going to be Jet Jaguar?
Sure.
This is directed by Garth Edwards, who also directed Monsters from 2010 and Rogue One, A Star Wars Story from 2016.
Party on.
And that's about it. This was literally the second big movie release, and he got Godzilla. And his third one was Star Wars, so good for him, even so if they butchered it. Money? He's obviously making some good money.
Rogue One?
No, it's not even about my personal opinion on it. It's his original script got chopped up quite a bit.
Ah, okay.
But not as bad as like Fantastic Four or something. Or I'm sorry, Fan4Stick. But that's neither here nor there.
I should have gotten chopped up by a paper shredder and thrown in the trash.
Perhaps. But so what's your personal history with this movie, Rob?
I saw it. Okay, why did you go with me?
That's what he does. Yeah.
That's how I get you guys back.
Well, you're not punishing me. You're punishing our audience by making them listen to me chew. So, I saw this in the theater, so I'm a huge Godzilla fan. And I have seen it a few times since.
Okay. Brian?
I've never seen this.
No.
First time.
Yeah, I saw this... myself in the theater. I might have seen it once since then, but not too often. I am a fan of Godzilla, but I don't know, this one I didn't feel a whole lot of need to repeat it.
Joe, how about you, Joe?
Yeah, Joe, what did you think about this movie?
Yeah, you diarrhea-smelling loser.
We're not here? Okay.
All right. Glad we addressed that.
Let's talk about this empty chair.
Do we really need to?
I'm Clint Westwood. I don't know. Please move on.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Wouldn't it be Flint Westwood?
It could be.
All right. So
I'm severely dehydrated.
Well, all the actors and actresses in this movie were Garth's first choice.
Sorry,
Mr. Edwards' first choice, I should really? Guess I should say. They were. Right, wrong, whatever. It's up to you. Well, here's other options they almost went with. For the lead role of Ford Brody.
Not Bryan Cranston.
No, we almost had Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Henry Cavill,
ugh.
Scoot McNairy.
What? Is or, that a real person?
That is. Or Gail Blandry.
Is that a real person?
And they are both real people.
Okay.
Wow. All right. And for the role of the lead female as Mrs. Ford.
Non-existent?
Yeah.
Mary Kate Olsen. Ashley Olsen. Caitlin Olsen.
Wow. Just a sweet D.
Sweet D. She was going to play one of the Mutos.
You know what?
You big bird?
Might as well. No, but they almost went with Hilary Duff.
Sure.
Jennifer Lawrence, Margot Robbie, Emily Clark, or Emily Rossum, which I can't even, like, one of those names certainly sticks out to me like a sore thumb for this.
I don't know who either of those people are.
Okay. The mother of all dragons, or Bulma from a terrible, terrible version of DBZ, the movie.
Wait, she was Bulma in that movie?
Emily Rossum, yeah.
Wait.
All right.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the same person. Oh, okay. And it's not mother of dragons. It's the girlfriend of pretend Han Solo.
Right.
I'm sorry, baby Han Solo.
All right. Guillermo del Toro was also considered for doing for directing this movie, but he was busy with Pacific Rim at the time.
Interesting.
Yep, it is interesting.
The skydiving sequence, which was a big part of this movie, was actually all real footage. They actually had a bunch of skydivers jump out of a plane, like professional photographers and everything, and that did all their own stunts and whatnot.
The weather around them. And everything.
Oh,
else
yeah. Everything they encounter is all CGI.
Okay, cool. Because I was like, that doesn't make no sense. It was cool. It was cool effect.
Yeah. And according to Bryan Cranston himself, while the film does not immediately show the beast, it does a good job of building up to his appearance and keeps it very clever and terrifying in its off screen presence and is very much inspired by Jaws, which, of course, waited quite a while to show that.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with what he said, but that's not Godzilla, though.
We'll get into it. And the sound designers, and I give them a lot of credit for this, got a 20-foot high and 18-foot wide speaker that was 100,000 watts just to blast Godzilla's vocals through to see how much power that would actually be.
Okay.
So, like, to when they show, like, all the things blowing in the wind, they actually know that's how much it would mess everything up.
All right.
So that's pretty cool. Anyone want to guess at the budget this movie had?
$50 million.
I'm going to say $150 million.
Joe?
Me.
Fart.
Wow. I'm raking them over the coals this week.
Well, Joe wins, who was $160 million.
160? I think I got the closest without going over.
No, Joe's got you up by $1.
It was Joe, you piece of shit.
Yeah. You gotta watch those beeps, man. You gotta... So, anyone want to guess at how much money this movie made?
$150 million.
I'm going to say $400 million.
Joe?
$5. Fart.
All right, well, that one was a bit more clear, but so I'm going to have to give this one to Rob. It was $529 million.
Wow, it did that well. I didn't realize it did that well.
Oh, yeah, it did.
America was ready for Godzilla again.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were all sitting on rooftops.
Were they going, watching this movie, though? Huh? Were they watching this movie, though?
It was before the movie came out.
Oh, okay.
They were all standing on our rooftops going, here, lizard, lizard, lizard.
All right. But
I got Taco Bell in preparation.
Who's in this movie, Brian?
So we got Kick-Ass, Aaron Taylor Johnson as Ford Bradley. Ken Watanabe. Nobby.
He's not that knobby. Come on.
Oh, that's an I at the end?
Sure. It's okay. An E, but it's pronounced.
Dr. Ishiro
Japanese Surizawa? Guy.
Is that how it's up?
Sure. Yes.
Dr. Okay. Japan.
Yeah.
I'm not going to screw up this
Part. Only Japanese guy in the movie that has lines. even though the first half of it is set in Japan. But anyway. Elizabeth Olsen as Elle Brody. She's non-existent. Doesn't matter.
She kind of exists.
Sally Hawkins as Lady in the Background.
Who? What? What?
Vivian Graham.
Yeah. Why are we still listening, people?
Yeah,
the woman that followed around. You can stop then.
Bryan Cranston as Joe Bradley.
All right,
for 15 minutes.
And
Godzilla as himself for 5 minutes.
No, fuck that. Fuck that, because the previews for this movie made me think Bryan Cranston was the star of this fucking movie.
Yeah.
And he's not even fucking in it for more than 5 minutes.
Yep.
Fuck that.
The previews for Scream also made you think that Drew Barrymore was going to have a big part.
I mean,
spoiler alert.
The boobs almost came out.
Okay. Also, fun side note, Bryan Cranston, famous for playing Walter White on Breaking Bad, which that role almost went to another Godzilla star. Want to guess which one?
Ken Watanabe.
Nope.
The Aaron guy?
Nope.
Gary Chalk. Godzilla.
Frank Walker.
Matthew Broderick.
Wow. That's a different movie, though.
That'd be a different show.
Different Godzilla, but yeah. And that would have been a very different Breaking Bad. It probably would not have been nearly as popular. I cannot see him saying, you know, like, say my name or anything like that.
How
I'm
the sound?
Man that knocks.
How would that sound, Rob?
I don't know. Brian.
Rob, can you say I'm the one that knocks?
I've never seen
it. Now.
I didn't watch that show, so I have no reference of what you guys are talking about. But.
Jesse, it's time to cook.
All right. So,
going to spend a whole hour-long episode chasing a fly. That'll be fun.
I'm in my boxers. I don't understand. All right.
That's a lot of crystal meth.
It's one big pile. Or no, that's different.
That well, is it is one big pile of shit, sir.
It is one big pile of shit. But yeah, I'm confusing my lines here. Anyway,
I never saw the show, so I don't know.
But at that point, I was quoting Jurassic Park. So don't worry about it.
Oh.
He had mixed Matthew Broderick up with a true thespian of the silver screen.
No, well, first of all, it's not entirely true.
Goldblum.
Wow. If you can't tell in this episode, we are all drunk.
So drunk.
But anyway, it's not all true. So this movie, we start with some old footage. We got some explosions and newsreels or whatever.
Yeah, it's
it looks
kinda
like how Kong started. Kong Skull Island started.
Yeah, it does. And honestly, it looks a little bit like the 1998 Godzilla started.
Yes, it does.
Just old footage of nuclear testing. But this time, it was not, in fact, testing. It was old military footage of actual trying to kill Godzilla.
Yeah, no iguanas here. Just we're straight up bombing at something in the water. And then we cut to a group that found some old fossils. It turns out they're walking inside a giant rib cage, just something.
That's what I don't give a fuck. I didn't care. Like, I didn't understand. Like, so they're in this cavern, and one of the guys goes, like, look at these stalagmites or stalactites or whatever. And it's like, motherfucker, it's a rib cage. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like,
I think you were just on edge to begin with, because he said, are these fossils?
I thought he said stalagmites.
Nope.
Yeah.
He did say, yeah, are these fossils? Although that is kind of stupid, because like, it's clear to all of us this is a giant rib cage.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it was obvious, and it was still a stupid question.
You're a scientist.
But yeah. They were what, in the Philippines, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. You said they were? So yeah, it's like this, they're inside this huge rib cage, and there's like, also in this big cave, these two like cocoons.
It's got crabs.
Yeah, one of the cocoons is exploded. Like something hatched from it, and they pan out to show this huge hole in the ground, and then like this big path that's been carved through.
And immediately here now we're gonna start our counter of how the hell did you miss this? Because giant things are just sneaking past everybody.
This whole movie,
yeah, it really is.
I mean,
It's not as bad.
We shouldn't make too many comparisons, but this is borderline Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
It's not as bad as Godzilla is hiding in New York and we can't find him.
It's not, but it's close. It's close. Cause, I mean, you could argue
that Godzilla was hiding inside buildings.
I know, I understand, but like this is the same problem of this is a giant monster that's like the ground would tremble when it moves. There's no way it's like we should have seen it like take its little shoes off and carry them as it tiptoes cartoon style to the forest.
It's just got like a bush in front of its head.
Yes.
Come on.
Like picture a 100-foot monster that is like wearing a cardboard box like Solid Snake. Just like don't notice me.
Ken Watanabe's like bring.
Yeah. But yeah, so we cut to this family. They're the Ford family.
Ford Focus family of cars.
Yes, the Ford Focus family. They're out in Japan, correct?
Does anyone know a Ford? Anyone know anyone named Ford? Like, really? I'm sorry.
I know the one who made the car.
My first name Ford. Really?
Oh, first name Ford. No. Well, Ford Fairlane. That's
is a fictional character, yes.
He is.
But... I mean, Ford Prefect, also a fictional character. No.
Okay. Sorry.
All right.
Listen, they just wanted a little piece of America back in old Japan.
I guess.
They named their child Ford.
They just really wanted to make it clear he is American. I don't care how long he's going to be in your country. Like, really? He is American.
Yeah, like his middle name is Hot Dog.
Hot Last Dog. Name violence.
Ford Hot Dog Apple Pie Gun Violence. Whatever.
Walmart. Brody. Walmart Brody. So.
But they call him Firework for short.
So the Brody family is living in Japan. Father Brody.
Again, by the way, Jaws.
Yeah. Sure. Obviously. What's his first? Joe Brody?
Joe Bradley.
Brody.
Brody. Sorry, Brody. Joe Brody.
That's too hard. Joe
Brody. American Joe.
Yeah, I just don't want the word Joe to come out of my mouth this episode is too many times because it makes me sick every time.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
Wow.
Don't worry, he won't be in it long.
Yeah, it's true. So, Joe Brody is...
Spoiler alert.
Like, safety head or something? Like, safety engine? I don't know what exactly his role is, but he works at this... power plant,
yeah.
With his wife,
mm-hmm.
And he gets a call that there's weird readings, and he's been following these readings for a long time. They're growing in intensity, and he wants to do an inspection. So he's going to send a team down there, including his wife, to figure out what's causing these strange anomalies. So we get there, and
shit gets crazy real quick.
Yeah, he sends his wife down in there with her team of Japanese people that don't get to talk, and it's not long.
They're apparently they might not even be real people, as she seems to phase through them multiple times.
Edited the scene.
It could be the Monsters Inc. Human Response Team or whatever they're called. But yeah, it's not long before she's like, oh. Everything's exploding, and then the whole power plant just starts to crumble.
They're running down this huge hall for like 5 hours, and like every time we cut to the front shot, she's in front of these other two guys. But then when we cut to the shot from behind, she's behind these two guys. It like every time it switches.
It's four times.
It's four times.
Like we're editing this for real, like.
Well, he said this was like his second movie, right?
It's true. But also, this is why if you're going to build a power plant, don't have your, like, you know...
Don't have Homer Simpson watching
all that, too, yeah, with safety. Yeah. Don't have your safety doors, like, every 500 feet. Like, maybe, Trey, I don't know, 20 feet or so. She is running for miles.
Well, in any case, she ain't running fast enough.
No.
So, turns out... Joe's got to slam the airlock and
watch his wife die.
Yeah, watch his wife die right in front of his face.
He sure does.
Yeah, she told him too, because she got passed by the toxic fumes, she was like, let's close the door. We're not going to make it.
Yep, we're done.
Yeah, they weren't even close. There was no way. But yeah, so that happens. And he barely has time to mourn this when, like, the whole power plant starts just collapsing. Everybody gets evacuated from the whole island here. He has to grab his kid and get the hell out.
15 years later.
Yep. Yeah, we cut to 15 years later. The kid's a lot older now.
15 years older, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. And with a wife and kid of his own.
He's sure. In the military.
And he's on leave, or he's done, or something. I don't know. He was deployed somewhere.
I think on leave or whatever.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Yeah, so he's home now. And it's not long before he gets a call that his father has been arrested in Japan.
Yep.
So he...
It's like, damn it, Dad!
Yeah. Every time.
Yeah. He's kind of like, you know what? I don't even want to bother with it because he's always a problem. But she convinces him, you know, this is your father. It's part of your family. You got to deal with this. So you should go. And he does. And they immediately get themselves in some trouble.
Yeah. So the Brody's father and son, Father Brody, Joe Brody, is like, I'm going into the quarantine zone because...
I'm crazy, and they're hiding something. I got to see it.
Yeah, there's all these signals and stuff, and I don't trust what they told me. I don't think it's a radioactive problem. I think we can go in there.
Yeah, everybody's been passing him off as a crackpot because he claims it's some kind of there's some conspiracy, and it's not what they say it is. But there's obviously more going on with this because he finds out immediately like the place is not irradiated. They got a whole team out there investigating. They are in fact covering something up.
It's like, I left my really super weird hentai manga porn comics at the house, and I need to get them.
I need to burn my computer, like Whistler told me to.
That's
right. I thought that's why the power plant exploded like that. That was Bryan Cranston going, nope, delete.
No, the power plant exploded because they had that blind girl watching.
That's how the monster's gonna get out so fast.
You know what? That would explain everything in this movie.
Guys, check out our episode on Blade Trinity to understand what the hell we're laughing about, like jackals.
4ampodcast.podbean.com.
That's it.
Old episodes.
Alright. So anyway, yeah, we go back to this place. They get arrested. They take him back to where the power plant was. There's a giant thing there now, and he's trying to tell them, like, listen, it's making some kind of noise, it's whatever, it's going in a certain pattern, this is what happened last time, shit's about to get crazy.
The giant thing that's there is basically the other cocoon that was exploded.
Yeah.
The larva cocooned itself up like a butterfly.
Yeah.
And, or a moth.
Or moth. Or big dookie bat.
I know, but like... I know.
It's we're
like
saving that for the sequel.
It's just like a big cockroach kind
of thing. Yeah, it does.
It's more like a cockroach.
Looks like, looks like one of them things from
Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
It does a little bit, yeah. what was I going to say? Sorry.
Getting some bathroom diarrhea again?
No, not that. I just lost my voice a little bit. Oh. So
from the diarrhea.
Yeah, that's a powerful diarrhea.
It really was. My neck muscles were strained, you know. so they're at this power plant, and Cranston's like, "Yo, I've only got like 4 minutes left in this film. You need to listen to me. That thing's making noise. Something's going on here.
It was talking to something.
Yeah, it's chatting it up.
And he found his zip discs from."
I don't think they zip discs.
Remember those?
Yeah, 100 megabytes.
Man. Yeah, he found like 4 of those, so he had like a picture on it.
You could fit several pictures because they were super low res at the time.
But so they
all 4 of those, you might be able to fit as many pictures as I have on my phone right now.
The most amazing part of this movie is that they had someone to read those zip discs. They get the info off of them.
I'm pretty sure they were standard diskettes.
So, no, no, they were zip discs.
Brian would like to have you believe they were zip discs. I'm not convinced.
I think he's right, but
I don't think they were.
I still have floppies. Even if it was floppy disks.
Yeah.
Good luck finding something to read floppy disks.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's true.
Like, good luck.
I don't know. The military probably has some. Not
true.
Shit.
True. Yeah. They probably still have something.
That's probably what they still work off of.
Yeah. That's also entirely possible.
But like, and the guy looks. He's like, hey, these do match. Hey, what he's saying is right. Fuck them.
And this big cocoon thing starts hatching, and out comes this giant bug.
Well, like, he's like, oh, he's right. These do match, and that means it's going to explode right about now. And just, yeah, giant bug comes out, destroys this whole area, smashes things up on his way out. Somehow not nearly as quiet as the last time, and it makes its way.
Well, because the first time it was probably like it was a caterpillar.
Yeah.
It was a worm.
Still.
It was worming around.
Where is it headed now, this first?
They say that it headed toward this island because of the reactor that was there, because it feeds off of radiation.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's trying to find a new source of radiation, I guess.
Yeah, which I believe is Hawaii, because there's like nuclear submarines off the coast or something.
Something like that.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, so this big giant, it's a bug, but it's got like huge bat wings, and it also drops a crane on Bryan Cranston.
Sure does.
So he's like in a coma for like the next minute and a half, and then he's just dead and out of the movie. So
yeah. He's
dead. Everybody that was like, "Oh, Bryan Cranston's in this movie," no, he's dead.
And now the military's all like, "That guy obviously knew stuff we didn't know. We got to find out about it." But he's dead. Get a kid, I guess.
Yeah, ask his son.
It's good enough, right?
I mean, that was what I would do, I guess. But his son's like, yeah, I thought my dad was crazy. I don't know. The thing he said, you know, I started, I've been changing his will while I wasn't looking.
I change his will almost as often as I change his diaper. I don't know.
I mean, I'm his only living relative, you know. I change it so I don't get those zip discs.
Because I fear what's on them.
Yeah, I don't want any part of that.
But yeah, he does drop a bit of knowledge of he thinks it's using some kind of sonar. So they start tracking this thing down. He, I guess, just goes back to Hawaii. Is that the deal?
So
somehow he ends up on a train in Hawaii.
He ends up in Hawaii because he hooks up with the military, and the military is gathering their...
No, that's in Hawaii. That's after this train thing.
Right, right. Well, I'm saying like... Oh, okay. So he hooks up with... Because he's with Ken Watanabe and all the scientists and whatever. They go to Hawaii to try and locate this thing.
Right.
He's going to drop off there and then hook up with military transport or whatever, hopefully back home.
Right.
Until he decides he wants another five tours of duty.
Yeah, and then... So while this is happening, they notice... another signal?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what's the other thing? And the guy's like, I think it's nature trying to fix balance and shit. It's nature's Gojira.
It's nature's whisper. A new douche.
Yeah, this isn't the only giant monster we've encountered. We're aware of this other one, and we think it's gonna come here and fuck up this bug creature if we'll just let it.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're fucking crazy. There's no way that's happening.
Brody here, Ford Brody, is in Hawaii. He gets on a train.
Stupid
name. There's some pointless nonsense about him with this little kid, which...
So, straight up, this dude is a Mary Sue.
Like, oh, for sure.
He does nothing wrong this whole time. He is unkillable.
Yeah.
First of all, there are so many times he should be killed in this movie.
And he's always in the either right place at the right time or wrong place at the wrong time,
exactly,
depending on how you want to look at it.
He's Johnny on the spot, no matter what, you know, how you cut it.
They don't explain why he knows what he knows. Like, he's part of the like nuclear team in the military or something like that.
He's explosive disposal.
Yeah.
Okay. So he knows nukes somehow. Like, he knows nukes.
Well, yeah, he knows how to disarm bombs of all kinds.
That is his thing,
which is very specific.
That, and he used to collect action figures and moths is all I know about this character. He has no personality like whatsoever.
He had an expansive Lego collection in his room.
Okay.
As well as kaiju posters on his wall.
It doesn't matter.
He was a nerd, Tony. Collecting bugs, playing with G.I. Joes and Lego.
Okay.
What more do you need to know?
It'd be nice if he had some kind of personality, but whatever.
That would require him having more lines than he did.
He does have a personality. He hates being around his family.
Yeah. And he likes
true.
And he likes being the hero. I know. Yeah,
but he's got a huge ego. And he doesn't want to kiss the weird Olsen triplet.
Well, his sister in the other movie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He doesn't want to bang his sister.
I don't know they know their brother and sister yet. It's the problem.
Oh, you think it's a Star Wars tie-in?
They're in Japan, though.
Yeah.
Where it's okay.
I mean, they're not at that point.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
No incest on U.S. soil, except in the Midwest.
Wow. Okay. And we're off and running. All right. So...
Shorts fired.
As I said before, them being a mutant pair of brother and sister certainly explains their child. But we'll just...
How did you explain it before?
I believe
Doritos, Doritos, Doritos.
Wait, Doritos. I don't need any Doritos to say I believe that when this kid was made, they filled in the extra DNA with frog.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. And
I'm the terrible one.
You are. But regardless. The point is he's on this train that apparently goes all around Hawaii. I don't know if this is a thing.
Yeah, can you guys let us know if this is an actual... Is there like a huge monorail system on Hawaii?
Yeah. Monorail.
Yeah, come on, Rich. Let us know.
Does it really go all the way to North Haverbrook?
Might.
Is there a Starbucks in Ogdenville?
No. Anyway,
will I get the cops called if I go there?
Yes. I believe this kid is Japanese, so I'm not even sure why he's there.
Doesn't matter. Regardless, people, tourists, whatever, doesn't matter.
The white savior is there to help out when the kid gets left behind by his parents because he's on the monorail and they're not. For no reason, just to have him be more of a hero, I guess. But this giant bug creature shows up, starts fucking everything up.
Do you think this whole movie was the most subtle commercial for the core action figures?
What?
That was the little fake ass G.I. Joe that he gave that kid.
Was it?
Yeah. And you know, the core. Figure line is the line that made the figures for like Kong Skull Island.
You know what? They are just cheap and shitty and dumb enough that this could be true.
They're like, we have all these boxes of these. Here, just use them in your movies. Here, just take them.
We will melt them down and make you a dinosaur.
They made core action figures for real?
Not based in the movie, Brian.
Oh, okay. No.
It's called The Core because they can't say G.I. Joe.
Like
Core, like C-O-R-P-S.
Okay. I'm sorry. The Core of the movie? No. What the fuck?
No, that would have been.
I thought that for a moment, too. What the fuck?
They just make one that's the ship, and it's like, is this a dildo?
It's a crystal.
Well, I can tell you. They're close enough because they're both shitty, and you'll find both at the dollar store. But anyway,
before an old episode, find out on 4ampodcast.podbean.com.
Or don't. It's probably a terrible episode.
It's a terrible movie,
especially since Joe was in it.
Wow, poop fired.
So soon enough, I'm sure. Especially if he keeps drinking. So monster attacks.
Scoop diddy
off the rails.
Poop diddy scoops.
No, they're on a monorail. Just one rail.
Monorail.
Totally, I'm sorry.
Fucking Brian. See, this is why I miss and appreciate you, Joe.
Can I play the piano anymore?
Of course you can.
Well, I couldn't before.
Alright, no, stop.
Okay, sorry.
Alright, so the monster attacks. It's fucking things up. Everything looks really bad. This guy, Ford, is there. He's like, I'll save you, kid, by just existing.
I will say, it's kind of an interesting thing. Because they're like the EMP that this monster sends off shuts down the whole island, basically.
Yes.
Shuts down this monorail.
Mm.
And everything is dark. And, like, nobody has seen the monster yet. And, like, suddenly the lights come on and the monorail starts going again. And now it's like, oh, there's just a giant monster on the tracks that we're now heading directly toward.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool. Like,
yeah.
I'd be freaking out.
Oh, for sure. But
I mean, I'd be scared for my life, but I'd be hard as a rock at the same time.
The monorail's hanging off the side, and you're just hanging on by your dong. All right. So, he saves this kid, whatever. We're trying to, like, make him a hero for some reason, but he's not really doing anything, because it's a giant fucking monster, and there's nothing he can do. But someone shows up who can do something about this. It's a Godzilla. We see, you know, the big footfalls, slowly pans up. It's Godzilla. He lets out an epic roar. This is going to be amazing. And we cut to news footage.
Well, yeah. It isn't another, like, it's an opening to another cool scene, though. But, like, I will say, his introduction is awesome. Like,
yeah.
The Muto is what they're calling. It's
the bugs.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what Muto stands for.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think it's like massive unidentified terrestrial organism or something like that.
Something like that.
But this thing, you know, uses the EMP wave again.
Mm-hmm.
So like knocks a helicopter out of the air. Or actually, no, Godzilla, I think, knocks a helicopter. Something knocks a helicopter out of the air. It falls and like lands on an airplane at the airport.
Yeah.
And then starts a chain reaction of, like, it shows from inside the airport, these people are watching through the big glass windows as the planes are, like, exploding, hopping, and, like, debris is hopping from one plane to another, just exploding its entire airport. And they're all screaming until Godzilla's foot just comes down in the middle of it, and it's just silence. Like, you hear the footfall, and then it's just silence. Mm. And then it pans up to show Godzilla, like, and he roars.
Big beefy calves.
Yeah, he does have some. He's thick with three C's, man. But he, like.
Wow. Only you want to fuck it.
Anyway, so. I mean, he's not wrong.
We know he's not wrong. Continue.
I can't now. So. So, yeah, then all of a sudden, we just cut away. Yeah. And we're watching this dumb kid watching this dumb news report with, like, you know, we get to kind of see these monsters fighting on the television, but it's got all those, like, tickers and everything else.
Legit mad.
Yeah.
Even in the theater, you are now watching this fight you came here to see on a screen that's smaller than your actual TV if they just showed the fucking fight.
Yeah.
Like, this is not what we're here for. I mean, hooray for Elizabeth Olsen doing whatever the hell she was doing at the moment. But
crying? She doesn't fucking matter.
Crying? I think that's what she does this whole movie, just cry.
Like,
That's not really the case.
If I wanted to see that, I would watch Infinity War.
This movie shows a lot of shit that doesn't fucking matter.
That's true.
Like,
yeah.
Almost the whole movie doesn't fucking matter. Like, I don't care.
Kinda,
I want to see them fucking fight.
Kind of like Rogue One, am I right, everybody?
No, I enjoyed Rogue One quite a bit.
Here's my problem with this. Like, okay, right on with the, you know, we're big inspired by Jaws. We want to follow that, you know, thing. We're not going to show the monster right away. We're going to have a slow build to it and have a dramatic reveal. And that works. But once you show the monster, fucking do something with him. Well, he's there. We don't need that anymore. There's no mystery. He's there. Let him do shit.
I disagree with that, too, because, like, it's Godzilla. Everybody knows what Godzilla looks like, man. It's not a secret.
Well, no, but this is a new design.
If it was the 1998 one, yes, hide that as much as possible.
But my point is, regardless of whether you know, if you want to do that, do that. But now that you've shown him, we don't need to play these games anymore.
No, absolutely not.
Fucking let him be there. Let him do things.
Because when I, like, Godzilla movies are, it's dudes in rubber suits fighting each other for an hour. And there's some other stuff mixed in there. But it's, by and large, two dudes in rubber suits fighting each other. You know who's gonna win. You know what's up. We don't need this human story involved.
Yeah, like, now that we've reached a point in our world where we have, you know, the ability to use things like CGI or whatever to make these monsters look really cool and make their fights really cool, and this is when we decide not to do that. But when you have two dudes in rubber suits, let's focus all that time on there. Like, yeah. I think you guys got this wrong. Like, it's backwards.
But I feel like maybe they learned their lesson, because if you watch Kong, which we did,
mm-hmm. yes,
it's not that.
I would argue that's the difference of directors, maybe more than
yes and no, but
learning,
I mean,
a lesson.
But since the movies are trying to set up this
monster universe,
franchise universe, like, they should presumably be falling under the umbrella of, hey, this is what we need. This is what needs to happen.
Well, yeah, hopefully, you know, from here on out, they will be better with this. But
I think they were trying to. I think they tried too hard to right all the wrongs that the 98 movie made, where there was, like, the monsters on screen a ton, and it looks awful, and people are, you know, it's just, it's too much.
Well, I think we have that problem a lot of the time with these kind of movies, where it is a thing of, like, we need the human element, and this goes back to the thing I don't understand with that, like, you know, have the kid in it so kids can, like, visualize themselves in that. I don't always need that. Like, if I see a monster movie...
I don't really know why the kid was in this. Like,
I mean,
for no reason.
Not just in this, but I mean, like, the general, like, you know, whatever, we have that kid character in it, so you know, you're Robin, so you could pretend like you could be Robin when you're a kid. Like, so you can, you know, someone for you to visualize yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they do that a lot with these kind of movies, especially around this era between the 90s and the early 2000s. We had that thing where, like...
This is 4 years ago. Three years ago.
Well, yeah. it still went on for quite a while. But, like, where people... we had to have that human element that, like, you couldn't have a movie about Transformers without the human there or whatever, because you needed that thing. And I know that's part of Transformers' story and whatever, mm-hmm. but, like... This is a movie about monsters. Just make it about monsters. Like, you can have the human element in it, but that doesn't need to be the focus. We don't need to be focused on this Ford running around through every city and, you know, jumping out of every building just before it explodes and whatever else. Like, we're here to see monsters. That's why
we're watching this. I totally agree with that. And I think they could have gotten away with just follow Ken Watanabe. He could be your human element.
Mm-hmm.
He's following the creature.
But Rob.
Yes.
He's not a white guy, so that's not going to happen in this movie.
Yeah, but, you know, I think he's been in Hollywood long enough that he kind of counts as a white guy.
Well.
But, like, we were in Japan, and, like, we had all these people that we could have followed, but we chose to follow the only white guy in all of Japan.
Notice Ken.
the only white guy in all of Japan.
I'm pretty sure Ken was in Japan there, too, and he never spoke a word of Japanese, if I'm right.
Not once.
Well, if you count Gojira.
And also Optimus Primal. Who was also not Japanese, was there in Japan.
Did he even get to say anything?
Yeah, he had two lines, I believe.
Okay. Fucking hell.
Gary Chalk,
No wonder I didn't remember he was in this movie. Honestly, even when you were like, there he is. The reason I didn't catch on is I thought you were pointing at the Japanese guy, and I was just like, who is that? And like, should I know who that is? I didn't even realize Gary Chalk was in the background.
I don't know why... The obsession with, like, having a white guy as your main character. Let's hope that the fantastic success of Black Panther helps to alleviate that to some degree.
It just means I'm going to be a black guy now. It's
that's okay. Listen.
No, because it's still going to be the annoying American.
Yeah, it's going to be Idris Elba. It will be Idris Elba. Or, I mean, Dwayne Johnson. He's... Where's he from?
He lived in my hometown for a little while. Black and Samoa. Like,
okay. Yeah. So he's, you know, he's light enough that people aren't afraid of him.
Oh, Jesus.
Listen, just real talk, Tommy.
Just real talk. That's why they call you the terrible one. I'm just being like, I know.
He lives in my hometown for a few years.
Yeah, he's either he's got to be light enough that he's not a threat, or he's got to be short enough like Kevin Hart.
Well, yeah, hopefully we have moved past some of this kind of nonsense now, but, and we also, we're having more movies with strong female characters, Black Panther included, so hopefully we can see more of that. But the point is, if you have a movie set in Japan, feel free to cast some Japanese people in it, just saying.
In theory. Instead of Bryan Cranston for 5 minutes. You're like,
that could have been anybody.
It could have been anybody.
They were just trying to capitalize on the popularity of Breaking Bad.
I guess.
That's why he was so prominent in the trailers. He was so prominent in all the promotional material because they were just trying to capitalize on that Breaking Bad because huge at the time.
Well, I think they were also trying to do it like, oh, look, this is going to be about this, or make you think that, and then go, oh, nope, we're going a different way. I think the problem is they didn't anticipate how much people would be disappointed when they're like, it's not going to be Bryan Cranston, it's going to be Kick-Ass. And everyone was like, who?
Yeah, honestly, if it was Bryan Cranston, like, Bryan Cranston and Ken Watanabe, the whole movie, like, together, figuring it out together, I would have been totally fine with that.
Absolutely.
But this, like, freaking milquetoast, dead face, like...
Well, I'm not even going to crap on him. I already did, but I'm not going to crap too much on him. Again, my bigger problem is, you have him, you have Kick-Ass running around, and he's kind of your eyes in the story. This is who you're following.
Did you say Kick-Ass or Cock-Ass?
whichever one. But like, if we just followed him and then we saw things happen, I'd be okay with that. But instead, we follow him and then, like, the giant monster fight begins, which is what you came there to see. And then we cut to his family watching it on the news.
Yeah, it is just...
Oh, yeah, we're still at that part.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. Yeah.
It's 90% of the movie, Brian, so don't worry.
So what happens after this?
The Motu, however you say it, gets away. We don't see how it gets away. And Godzilla's back in the water. We don't see him leave.
Yeah. And somehow the entire island is not destroyed in this fight.
Yeah. It mostly is, but
somehow. But like, all these people are there and they're alive and everything, but we don't know how or what. Whatever.
Back in the water.
And it's Muto, because if you say Motu, bunch of He-Man fanboys are going to send us angry emails.
Wow.
God. So, yeah.
They don't listen to our Tara show, because if they did, they would have commented on He-Man episode. It's an old episode.
Well, because I don't think it's in the rotation. You got to go to our archive page to get that. Oh,
true.
Where's that?
At 4ampodcast@podbean.com or .podbean.com.
I'm sorry, where is that?
4ampodcast.podbean.com.
All right. So, the kid returns the boy.
Go to the website! Oh, sorry.
Buy some stuff! God!
I'm marking it now. This will be the most hated episode.
So hates are still watching.
Yeah, it's, listen.
Tell us how much you hate us. Write in at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. So, anyway, he returns this kid to their family. Because that's fucking happened. Yeah. It counts to nothing. Yeah, he sees the military unit walking past him, and he just kind of jumps in line and becomes part of the group.
They're like, sure, come on.
Sticks his thumb out, hikes his skirt up a little bit, and they're just like, yeah, sure.
Sure, why not?
Get on here, cowboy.
So they're off.
So is this the point where they realize that the Motu responded to something responded to it. It wasn't Godzilla.
Yes.
Yeah. They're figuring out that this thing is collecting food and responding to a signal.
Well, yeah, they're starting to figure out they thought maybe it was Godzilla, but it was like, well, Godzilla's hunting it. Why would it call something it's hunting or call the thing that's hunting it rather? They're like, no, I don't think that's what it is. It seems more like a mating call. There must be another one of these things out there. And they remember, oh, right, there were two of these when we found them. So where'd the other one go?
The United States took it. Yeah, of course. Good job, guys.
Where we put all our nuclear waste.
Yeah, cut to a McDonald's.
Cut to your bathroom an hour ago.
For real.
And an hour from now. So they instead they cut to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Of course.
Or I guess just the Nevada desert. Mm. Apparently there's this huge vault. I mean, I think there is.
Yucca Mountain?
Yeah, the nuclear waste facility.
But again,
it's how did you miss that?
This helicopter drops, or these guys go in with this helicopter following this convoy as it goes in. These guys go in, they check the little...
They're checking all the vaults.
Little windows on each vault, yeah, to see... And one of them, they're like, oh, there's light coming through. That's odd. And they open it. There's a giant hole in the side of this fucking mountain.
Like, it's a smaller mountain-sized hole in the side of this mountain.
Yeah. And I mean, beyond that, there is a 300-foot gorilla cockroach wandering towards Las Vegas.
Like, how the fuck did you miss this?
What? Like, as we're questioning, we see, like, the helicopter goes around the side of the mountain, there's a giant hole, and then the guy's, like, looking out with his binoculars, like, where could this thing be? Like, no, there's the city, there's some cactus, and there's a giant cockroach,
there's some AT-ATs coming toward us.
There's a giant stingray.
It's a stingray, yeah.
But yeah, like, how did this helicopter should have been like, it's hey right. guys, don't bother going in there. There it is.
Punisher.
It got there already.
Punisher just got his shirt from the Cabo Wabo Cantina. He's ready to.
Yo, if Wild Dude was on Hawaii, the little kid gave him a shirt for the rest of the movie.
He's standing outside the Hard Rock Cafe. I got you this.
Yes, oh, man. You almost fear the vengeance of the Coppertone baby.
Yeah, so this giant gorilla-looking thing is the female of the species.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing as the male, but it's it doesn't have wings, but it's like twice the size.
Yeah, it's way bigger.
Yeah.
And now all three of these monsters are converging on... Is it San Francisco?
Yeah, yes. San Fran, which is where the dude's wife lives.
Yeah. And so, all right.
And why are they going there exactly?
Well, they're kind of fucked. So, yeah, but it's just in the middle.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, like, there's a big mountain that you still didn't hit, like, half the vaults, apparently, too.
Well, I think she's just going to meet the man.
Yeah, like he said, they're meeting in the middle. That makes sense.
And then the military starts shipping this mega, or is it kiloton? Megaton
nuclear warhead.
Nuke towards the coast. Because they're like...
They're trying to lure it out.
Yeah, we're going to lure it out to the water. We're going to set this bomb off. And we know the fallout won't kill them. But the impact of the bomb will.
Presumably.
And they think it'll kill Godzilla as well. Whatever.
With, quote unquote, minimum fallout damage for the city.
Right.
And like Dr. Ishiro or whatever, he's like, yo, just let him fight. Like,
yeah.
He's like, say what we're all saying. Just let him fight. That's what we're all saying. Right, <that's> like,
dude, I paid.
He's on the side going, cripple fire!
It's like I paid $12.95, man. Just let me see Godzilla kill something.
I see, and that's the funny thing, because, like, again, we have Ford there. He's supposed to be the person you, like, can project yourself into. But I'm projecting myself into Ken Watanabe. Right. I'm like, just let him fight! Just let him fight!
Because in the meantime, Ford is like, all right, so, you guys, instead of me just getting a plane to San Francisco, instead... I'm going to hook up with these bomb squad guys and jump out of an airplane. And, like, he has been taking on assignments the whole time he's been off duty. It seems just to avoid his family.
I'll give him this. Because the airport blew up at Hawaii.
Yeah, no, so that's fine.
The best route to get off of Hawaii was to go with the military.
Right.
Wherever they went. And then from there, he probably could find a ride home. It's not what happens. He goes with them. He's like, right. Fuck it. Let's just keep doing missions.
Yeah.
I happen to know how to defuse nukes if in case something happens. So
I need to get gold.
Yeah. So, you know, in case you have to disarm a nuke later on in the movie, I'm your guy. Mm-hmm. You know, just if somehow the nuke thing doesn't work, I have to disarm it. I'm here.
Yep. Unless the door gets jammed.
Yeah. And then it doesn't matter anyway.
Nope. So it's another on this. He's on this train.
Mm.
And this train is carrying the nuke now. So they're passing through somewhere.
Tunnel.
And there's just this whole scene where the Muto is there. And just hijacks the train, just takes the nuke, drops everything on the train into the water. Tanks, soldiers, Ford, everything. Everybody's dead except Ford.
Only one alive.
He fell in the water and had a train dropped on him.
Like, literally, it fell a second after he hit the water on him.
And he's alive.
It went splash. 1,000. Splash! Like, that's what happened.
If you were trying to count a thunderstorm, it'd be on your house.
They have repeatedly pointed out how he's the only one who survived this particular attack. And he's pretty much the only one who survived every previous attack.
So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., a little off subject. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. they've made fun of this now in the past few episodes. There's one extra agent who keeps living. And so he tells a story about how he made it out, but it's always off screen. So they're like, man, that's the best story I ever heard. Each time he lives, he has a new story about how he made it out.
Oh, okay.
But you never hear it. You see the after part, and it's kind of funny.
That is awesome.
All right.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could use a few more newmies, for lack of a better phrase. Like the dude from Baywatch who just never really had lines or anything, but kept showing up.
Yeah.
Do that.
What are we talking about right now?
Sorry.
Anyway. So yeah, no, they get the nuke here.
No, it eats that nuke, and then it kills their plan because it eats that nuke, so their plan is bogus now. Done. Then it heads towards San Francisco.
But don't they get another nuke that's on the boat?
It's a different nuke. They flew in because it ate the one on the train.
So they just keep failing.
Let's fly this one. They fly a nuke over this time.
And I was laughing here because I also we get to see some news footage of all this, and they have a little graphic of a giant monster going through the city. It's just adorable to think someone took their time to animate that.
They had to make the model of it,
yeah.
Put in all the bones and the joints, and
I'm just picturing the weatherman standing in front of the green screen, over here we have some clouds and some rain, and here we had a giant monster that might destroy your day.
And that's when he tucks his butt off screen to fart.
Yes. I love that clip.
He stopped talking. Why would you stop talking?
I'm sorry, he legit. Ryan, you have a whole discussion about how you can't talk when you fart.
He legit.
All right.
But if it was off camera, it wouldn't make noise.
Why doesn't it's ideally it's not visible. Why did you have to go off camera?
He might as well have just tucked his butt off screen and just took a creamy dump. Just a very soft serve shit right off screen.
He could have at least faked a sneeze or something. Anyway. Oh yeah. God, where are we now? All right. Oh,
San Francisco.
So yeah. Well, Ford is doing everything he can to quote get back to his family while getting as far away from his family as possible. His wife also is let's keep moving. I got to keep doing things and
But I got to move on. She's already put my child on a bus. Yeah.
She's already ignored her kid while she's doing all her work. And now she's like, you know what, kid? Just get on the bus. I'm going to wait for your dad.
So I just want to point out. So there are three kids in this movie that have lines, kind of. It's their son, the little girl on the beach in Hawaii, and the little Japanese kid.
If he's Japanese.
If he's Japanese, right. Those three kids, they're on the bus, there are more kids, but
these
kids.
Yeah.
Two of these kids are just dead face.
Yeah.
They're all time on the screen.
including the one with the most screen time.
Yeah, just dead face. He has no emotions. This little kid is like, what, Ma? Where am I going? Oh, okay. I guess I'm going over here now. And just dead face.
Do you need some water?
Don't die. If you do,
there's nothing yourself in there. There's nothing in that bottle. Go get some water.
All right. I have to get some water. But just to clarify before, go get some water. When I mentioned that this kid might be Japanese, it was more because it threw me off because this is probably the most Japanese people we've seen in this movie, and it's in Hawaii, not in Japan.
He could have been Hawaiian.
Maybe.
Tourist.
He could have been Chinese. He could have been Korean.
Tourist.
He could have been a Ford Taurus. A Ford Taurus family of cars.
But yeah, so she decides she has to wait for her husband to come. So she sends she sends her kid away with the other kids and the nurses from the hospital she works
at. Yeah, she just puts them out of so you just learned today that monsters are real.
Real.
Giant monsters. Like, huge monsters. Like 300-foot-tall monsters are real. You are going to voluntarily put your child on a bus to leave your presence for a second at all.
Well, she's waiting for her husband, Rob. I think because she knows, like, I need to be here when he shows up. Because if he dies, I got to raise you myself. If you die, we'll just make another one.
Oh, if you die. If you die, I'll instantly go into heat.
Probably.
Just make more children. More cubs.
Maybe.
The whole movie's about things she's trying to fuck. She's like, I just want to fuck. Go away, kid. I can't fuck with you around.
Yes. So,
and it's kind of an underlying story going on here, isn't it?
So this kid
is
on the magic school bus. And then she is going into an underground.
It's not magic. It's just short.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is literally a short bus.
You are not wrong.
The views and opinions. Views and opinions.
He didn't bite.
Views and opinions implied by the 4AM podcast by Brian. Do not represent the. No,
she is just hanging around. She's waiting where she was told he would show up. Basically, he's like, "I'll meet you here." So she's waiting there. Meanwhile, she puts him. And this is the thing, because I'm sure she's not aware of everything that's happening. But she literally puts him on this bus, sends it across the Golden Gate Bridge so it can get about halfway so that Godzilla can show up and fuck things up.
Yo!
She paid a lot of money for him to have that experience, okay? No, but in the meantime...
And by that you mean she paid Godzilla a lot of money to eat that child.
Yeah. So, at this point, the kid is on the bridge. They're all in the bus. There's actually, a pretty, I guess, decent jump scare here where a bird hits the window of the bus.
I would cut my pants.
Yeah, it definitely got me, the first couple of times I saw it. only because I saw it, several, months apart. I forgot it happened. But Godzilla comes up, and the military's just, firing at this guy. It's what do you... Stop, man. You know none of this stuff works. You've already tried shooting at him with all kinds of stuff. What are you doing?
Well, this is the problem with, again, who's sharing what information? Because Monarch knows all this stuff about Godzilla. They're like, we dropped a bunch of bombs on him. Didn't seem to do shit. The military is just I've never seen this before. Hit it with everything we got.
Yeah, but if the military comes in, I want at least to hear the music. Dun, 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 dun. And they need to get the little model cars in with the big radar gun things that they use. I need those. All right. I can't be having this anyway.
You know what? I want to see this movie reshot as a film noir style movie, but it's through Godzilla. He's like, it's another day on the job.
Wife's nagging him at home.
He's got a lot of monsters and shit. They keep shooting at me. I don't know why.
the big chase scene at the end. I gotta take care of these bad guys. I was just making my way through the river when all these thugs showed up.
Military's there. He'll be played by Steven Seagal in Greenface.
Oh,
God. I need these. I told you these.
I don't know the last time you've seen Steven Seagal, but he might not need makeup.
He at least needs the green,
looks like a Russian villain now. He does, a Russian villain. For real.
He sure does.
These monsters keep showing up in my turf. I had to take them down.
But like Godzilla, he's like mad chill when it comes to people. He's like, look, I'm just trying to go hunt these monsters. Leave me the fuck alone. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to not kill you. I mean, I'm gonna destroy your town, but the boats right now, yeah. I'm leaving you alone. I go under you, I go around you.
Right.
Leave me the fuck alone. You're
shooting me. I'm gonna destroy your town, but like less than they were gonna, you know?
Yeah. They were gonna make little disgusting babies. And, you know.
But yeah, to the point where he literally.
San Fran is overcrowded. He's going
through the river here, and like the boats are all around him, and he just comes to a dead stop. Like, are you guys going to move?
Yeah, like, move? Like, huh?
I'll go through you if I have to, but.
So. All right. So, basically, Godzilla just tears through the bridge.
Yeah.
And he's in the city now. Yeah. And now all the monsters converge together.
Mm-hmm.
As What's-Her-Face Olsen is being led into this little safe area, whatever you want, bunker area. And again, the monsters are about to fight.
Well, it's not a safe area. It's literally, she's...
It's a shelter of some kind.
Well, it's just, she's in the city. I think it's a subway, because she's in the city, and a group of people are like, oh shit, there's the cockroach monster. We got to get away from it. And they start running, and then they see in the other direction there's Godzilla. So they're just like, fuck, let's get underground or where, you know, whatever.
But
so
the point is, nearby. They're all going in there. You see the monsters about to fight. And then it shows from inside whatever, the bunker, whatever you want to call it, the doors just close. And it's like, no, you don't get to watch this again.
Mm. Now, the movie will show you fights eventually. You do get to see some fights happening.
And those fights are cool as hell. But like, it's like, fuck. You have to pay a price to get there. A pasty white price.
I could be wrong, but isn't there a very similar scene to this in Pacific Rim?
There is a scene in a kaiju bunker.
Yeah, but I thought there was like a similar thing of like it attacking, like close the doors on it. But
maybe I'm
getting confused.
Not to my knowledge. Not to my recollection. But yeah, so what... What the heck happens?
They make a new plan now to
Is the skydiving plan?
Yeah.
They were gonna use a nuke. The other they flew in, they put a timer on that was like clockwork, so it wouldn't be affected by the EMP pulses they have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the monster's like, fuck, I'm just taking it, and just took it.
Yep.
They gave it to the female grasped. One. Yeah. And so they were like, oh fuck, we can't turn that off. So send in the paratroopers.
Would you get? Yeah, I love the we've had a lot of trouble with like our boats and our vehicles on the ground because of the EMP blast. So let's fly above it. And I understand it's to fly out of its range, but it's like a plane seems to be the worst place you could be when the EMP goes off.
Well, yeah, and I think that's why they didn't. That's why they wanted to go by train in the first place.
Yeah,
because they knew.
Well, yeah, but like now they're just okay. We're gonna. But now it's like drop you.
Yeah, they don't ever really have a choice at this point. So yeah, they drop them out.
And the scene is cool looking. To show the skydivers with the.
It is because you can see like above the cloud line, the sky is like pretty and the sun's out and everything. And they go through the clouds and you can see like there's a storm and they go through, you know. And then there's smoke, and then there's a Godzilla.
I was hoping that one would have been hit by a monster.
That would have been cool. But you know, it's fine.
Ford is part of this team because he knows how to disarm nukes in a minute.
Like, sure. Yeah, I didn't know he knew how to fly a plane.
They make you jump out of stuff, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. I guess all you really have to do is not die.
Yeah. Well, they make a point of saying that. Like, those of you that land successfully, please go do this thing.
Yeah.
Like, basically, we know most of you aren't surviving this shit.
Because it's super high, super low. It's a drop. Like, they drop from real high up and open the chutes. Like where the buildings start, it's an open the chutes. Yeah. It's super dangerous.
And that's even if there weren't giant monsters destroying everything in the process.
Yeah, this is like buildings are not there where there were once buildings, and there's possible debris where there was nothing before. So even their layout of the city may not be correct. But
so again, yeah, this is a cool scene, but it's also again the problem of I want to see Godzilla to fight something.
Like, okay, but
you're showing me like flashes of it and like, you know, through this guy's goggles and dust and what, like just get to fucking Godzilla fighting a thing.
And like around now is where you start seeing the fights for like, you know, 15 seconds of showing them fighting each other, and then it'll cut away. You know, you're a little bit longer now, you see it happening.
So we get to the Muto's nest where the bomb is located, and there are just gross eggs everywhere. But not it's like real insect eggs. It's not like Madison Square Garden.
Like tadpoles, you know, frogs, you know, see through.
Yeah, so it's that. And they're military guys, they pull the bomb out and they're like, you know,
we can't disarm it because it's jammed.
They can't open the door, which is just like, you guys, nobody brought like a Swiss Army knife or something to just like open the door up.
So plan B was to take the bomb and put it on a boat and try and get it as far away from the city as possible.
Yeah. Now, like, here's the thing. When they pulled it out, they still had like 27 minutes left.
Yeah.
You couldn't get that door open in a half hour? Like,
well, I was thinking, like, there's probably large chunks of rebar everywhere. Like, you make a crowbar kind of thing.
Yeah, like something.
Pry it open.
Like, you don't have tools with you? Like,
maybe, well,
you might not have tools with you if I could jump down the plane.
A welding thing to cut
the metal. Anything. Nice. Just hit it with a brick. Anything.
Maybe you don't want to hit the nose with a brick.
This is Armageddon. Last movie.
I mean, this bomb has survived being carried around by this monster for the last
time. That's fair.
However long. So,
you know, I don't know how it works. So, you know.
Also, you're telling me this monster stole this thing, gooed it up, and then put eggs all over it in less than an hour?
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, because it is efficient. The male was fighting Godzilla while the female was laying the eggs.
Yeah, it just seems like, I
don't
know. And
then once it finished laying the eggs, it was like, I'm going to fight too.
Yeah. So
they get his mom out. But Ford is like, yo, these eggs are still here. Like, we got to do something about the eggs.
And while this is happening, we are getting some really cool fight stuff with Godzilla and the two
now
monsters.
Shit's going down. Godzilla's fighting these two giant Mutos.
They are throwing each other around. And here is, I mean, here's part of where I can kind of I don't understand why the movie is so long with so much human stuff, but I can understand why they might limit some of the monster fights. Because it is a lot of just biting and like throwing things around. Yeah. And if they made it too long, it could get very repetitive.
That's fair. That's fair. Like they do a decent job during these sequences to like give you just enough fights and then move to something else. Give you just enough fight again and move to something else. Yeah. So like during this time, I can say it works. This time, but like the rest of the movie.
Because if you talk about like some of the Toho Godzilla movies, they understood that, we can't just have them swing each other around for long, so they got into some stupid shit.
Oh, yeah. Flying around on your tail.
I'm playing soccer with rocks and stuff. Yeah, it's real stupid. The military is, like, carting off the bomb, and Ford is like, I know you guys are doing that, and I know it's really important that we get this bomb there, but I'm totally going to divert this female's attention towards us.
I mean, one of them could have said, hey, maybe while we take it away, you could be trying to disarm it. How about that? And he's like, nah, I'm going to take care of these eggs. Yeah. You guys go do that.
Or at least wait till we get to the boat before you cause an explosion.
So there's a gas truck happens to be down where they are, just because, reasons.
Yeah, you know,
because he's the king.
Yeah, so he knocks the gas tank nozzle off, and like, you know, there's fire everywhere. So eventually it blows up.
Yeah,
and like, it's the most touching scene in the whole movie because like,
is it really?
It is, because
the
only emotions in this whole movie from this monster. Like, literally, Brian Cranston tried in the first minute of the movie. He had some emotions when his
I would have gone with that. Or, you know, when you think Godzilla. Well, I mean, I didn't think for a second Godzilla was dead, but you know.
There is some sexual tension, perhaps, between The Fords.
The two Mutos.
These eggs blow up, and, like, the monster goes, huh? Like, all the way, huh? And it turns around, and it's, like, crying. It's like, no! It's real touching. It's like, oh, she cares about her kids, unlike Ford and his wife.
Yeah. Who's his wife, who's being crushed to death as we speak.
But, yeah, like...
But good on Ford. He burns these eggs, so there's not going to be more of these little things. At least not yet. And Godzilla's like, cool, while she's busy doing that, I'm going to fuck this dude up. And they start fighting. Ford helps them. They get this the bomb on the boat. He starts getting away from the shore here when this monster shows up and does a little EMP thing again.
Well, there was one scene. We
got to talk about this.
Like after the bomb blows, after the eggs go up, and the mother is having her emotional scene. Ford is lying there, just like kind of stunned by the explosion. And the fucking monster fucking looks him in the face. Like,
worse than that, he's trying to get away from this thing because he sees it's coming back to the nest that he just set on fire. And he, like, scrambles back a little and, like, basically, he might as well have just not, like, knocked the little photo she had of her and this other Muto off the shelf, and it cracked. And she heard this tiny little noise and spins her head over at him.
All this rubble everywhere falling.
Yeah.
And she's like,
her babies are still burning.
Yeah, that could be her maternal instincts are just like, this is the bitch that killed the babies.
You did this.
But that'd be like if you came back to your apartment and you found your, you know, your stove was on fire, and then you just like saw a little beetle, like one of those pill bugs in the ground, and you were just like, you. Like, yeah, I know if you spotted it, you had that reaction.
You know, but that bug is the one that turned your stove on.
Like, you wouldn't notice that bug. You'd be busy with the fucking stove.
True. I don't know. Maybe he's, like, smells like, you know, because he's a mutant. Maybe he smells like, well, he's not even a mutant. He got his power from the stone, right? The Infinity Stone.
He's inhuman, Rob. We call them enhanced.
They couldn't use mutants in the movie.
But he's not even inhuman, right?
Because he got his power from the Infinity Stone.
Yeah, they were enhanced by...
Which, you know, they could retcon later, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
So, either way, was male Muto alive still at this point?
Yeah. Okay. But this is where, like, you know, all of a sudden a light shines, and you're like, what the fuck is this light?
This blue light showing up.
And all of a sudden you start getting hard and stuff. You're like, oh man, yeah. What's happening right now?
Listen, I could, like, I had to...
What's about to happen? Like,
this is because even though I knew exactly what was happening, and even the first time I saw it, I knew exactly what was going to happen. But like, yeah, like the little hairs on my arms are standing up and stuff. Like, I'm getting psyched.
I had to lie on my back and like put my knees up towards my chest.
Let's not go there
because I don't know. Because I was getting so aroused.
Like, for me, because I hadn't seen this before. Literally a minute earlier, I was like, "Hit him with your lightning breath!" Mm-hmm. Like a minute before,
and I was fighting, not saying anything to you because I was like,
so "I was like, oh,
yeah." The scales on his back, the fins, whatever you want to call them, start lighting up blue, and you're like, "Oh, thank you."
And what I've been waiting for.
He just lets loose on this big gorilla thing. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It doesn't kill it.
Burns its freaking face.
The shit out of it.
So that's how what's the name escapes that scene.
Right. Yeah. So the mother is down. The female's down. So Godzilla turns his attention to the male now. Mm. And this man, you know, this little flying piece of crap is—he's in for it, man. Godzilla's like. Dude comes around, hits Godzilla with his... Because these things have, like, these weird spike arms.
Yeah.
And...
Starship Troopers, that...
Yeah.
That, those arms and those things, it's just like that.
Pretty much. So they're, like, stabbing the crap out of Godzilla for a long time in this movie. And he, like, comes around, he stabs Godzilla, he's, like, knocking him around. And Godzilla's like, you know what? I'm tired of you. So he waits for this dude to fly towards him. He just lines up, gets that tail swing in, and just rams this piece of crap right into the side of a building.
No.
And it's dead.
No. Like, their eyes light up, like, this orange color. It's like, the lights go out.
Yeah. But unfortunately, this big ass building also falls on Godzilla's head. Yeah, it does. And he's like, oh crap. This is going to put me out for at least 2 minutes.
But
it's going to put me out till it's convenient.
Yeah.
But, you know, Godzilla, because must have an amazing eyesight too, he sees Ford and is like, you burn those eggs? Thanks. Yep. And then disappears into the fog. Yeah,
like fucking Batman. He's just like, thanks for the assist, bro.
So I was like, fuck you, movie. Like, what the fuck?
I don't think he pulled back so much as he was engulfed by the smoke from the collapsing. Yeah,
I know, but like,
yeah, but I get it. Was a
might as well. But yeah, so Ford's like, fuck it, I gotta get this nuke out of here. He gets it down to the boat. And again, I said, like, why are we still using a computer-operated boat for this fucking thing? We know what's happening, but...
Was he gonna use a paddle boat?
If you fucking have to. I mean, something.
I'm pretty sure that's...
I bet if you put sail power, you'd go real quick with all the wind and shit they're generating with this fight.
Yeah, they gotta like know how to pull the rig up and everything. And
yeah, he needs Maui to help him wayfind.
Well, his option is he gets about 2 feet away when suddenly, boo, everything goes dark again. And big old mama's coming through and she's like, fuck you.
Your ass.
Yeah. Done burn my boobies off. I can't.
I was just looking for a snack, and I found this motherfucker that was rummaging through my kitchen before and set my babies on fire. Dude, you are in for it.
I will give that, because at first I was like, how the fuck did she realize that the fucking boat's lights came on? Then I'm thinking about it now. They know they can sense the nukes.
Yeah, so she was following that.
That's my guess, nukes. Yeah.
Like, all right, I'll give you that.
This at this point, hopefully they were the only people left in the city, like on the streets still, which isn't very realistic, I don't think, but...
Well,
it makes sense. I mean, I'm sure people would try and get off the streets, but
they're dead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say they're probably only live people on the streets. True. So yeah.
So she's headed towards this boat, and the rest of his team is there, and they're trying to stop her. So they're firing at her, and she just eats the whole chunk of the pier that they're on.
Whole thing, one gulp.
And he's like on the boat. The nuke's on the boat, so he does all he can.
His pistol out.
He's like, good thing I stayed back to blow the babies up.
Yeah, but Mama's like, oh, you're in for it now, and starts coming in for that chomp, when all of a sudden, a little tap on her shoulder.
Go, go, Godzilla. Yeah,
it's Godzilla. I'm like, hey, you thought I was out? I'm not out. And like, yeah, just...
He was like, so...
bites the neck.
I heard you want to... You came to fuck, right? Let's make out.
Your name is Buck, right?
I think he just went, don't worry, I'll feed you, baby bird. Grabs her mouth open, charges that fire blast, and right down her throat.
Oh, man.
Like, blows the body off.
Yeah, he doesn't even blow her head off. He blows her body off.
Yeah.
Like, legit.
Yeah, he's still holding the head by the jaw.
And he just roars and, like, throws the head like it's a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
And then he and Ford both collapse as Ford's boat like makes its way. It's like on autopilot. Off, so once the Mutos are dead, like the EMP wears off, I guess. Which I don't know how that works, but but the boat starts going off.
Yeah, into I doubt that would function like this, but whatever.
Into the water.
Yeah, and our helicopter comes. It grabs Ford, saves him. Gets him out just in time because the nuke goes off, which
they'd be dead.
Yeah, they're totally. This did not go well for any of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a fair distance away. I guess I don't know. I have no concept of how that works. Like I don't know
just how minimum far
safe
are,
distance and all that. Yeah. But it's a movie. I guess I can suspend my. It's a movie about giant monsters fighting each other. I can suspend my disbelief enough. I guess. Right.
But, so he gets back to some stadium where they're housing all the people that are, you know, looking for shelter. He's forced to deal with his kid again. She seems real unhappy about and he just keeps, you know, scanning the room for his wife. Huh?
He doesn't seem unhappy about it.
Well, the kid doesn't happy about it.
The kid's indifference.
Like, the kid like, is blank-faced, dad is just looking for his wife. Like, the
kid has no emotions whatsoever.
It's I guess it's not so much like a, I don't want to be with my kid. It's more like a, I need somebody. I need her to be here. I need her to be here. And like the kid, me, daddy, like not now. I gotta find your mom. Like, you know, want to maybe pay attention to him? He's just been through some real traumatic shit. You have too, but you know. Anyway,
So anyway, they reconnect. Whatever, yeah, it doesn't matter.
It saves the wife. She's there too.
But it shows Ken Watanabe like coming up over this pile of rubble, looking at Godzilla's corpse. Then all of a sudden,
he snorts.
Godzilla gets up. He's like, "I cannot sleep with all you assholes making all this noise."
I wish Ken had booped his snoot.
Do you?
Kind of.
Do you?
Doop. But yeah, he wakes up. He gets up. And I like, again, the news in the stadium, everyone's cheering like, yay, Godzilla's still alive. And I was so waiting for him to just step through the fucking stadium on his way out into the ocean. Like, yeah, you might not want to be so happy yet, guys. Like,
shows, big old turd.
Or that.
Shows a chef from Golden Corral with a big carving knife in his hand go, aw. And then,
like, dead river lizard food for days.
Yeah, Godzilla just gets up and totally fat kid belly flops into the water. Like, I can't.
The mom shows up at some point.
Yeah, we said that.
Yeah, they reconnect. It does not matter. And then Godzilla swims out a little bit and just disappears into the water.
And to the credits.
And then credits.
Credits.
And that's Godzilla from 2014. All right, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 74%. Audience gave this a score of 66%.
74 for real?
74 for real. So that's their thoughts and opinions on it. You don't seem to agree, Brian, so what are your thoughts and opinions / recommendations?
Like, I will go with the viewer's score a little bit better. Like, this is a D plus maybe for me. Like, because what I wanted, I didn't get a lot of. The lead characters in this movie don't have personalities. Don't have any. They're not actual characters. They're just like placeholders kind of for stuff to happen to. And I don't like that shit. Like, I would be okay with that if I forgot more fights and shit. I'd be okay with it. But since they chose to make half the movie about them, fuck that. So I would only watch this again, fast forward to the halfway mark, in the background while I'm doing other things. Or because I would just go on YouTube and watch the fights.
Okay.
So, I can't fully recommend it. I can't. Sorry. The fights are kind of cool when they actually happen. So watch it on YouTube. I would recommend instead Pacific Rim, not because it's a better movie, but because like it gives you just what you want. Like you just want to see monsters and robots fight, and that's what you get. So I would say watch that.
Okay, Rob.
So I actually, and you know what? Maybe I'm being more lenient because I did recently attempt to watch the 1998 Godzilla.
Why?
It was the Riff Trax version. Okay. And I still didn't make it all the way through. Like, I needed a break. This movie is too long, but at the same time, it's paced in a way that it doesn't feel as long as it is. This movie has way too little Godzilla, but it saves the Godzilla for the end where you're like, oh, hey, Godzilla's fighting. And so you like kind of forgive a little bit of the previous thing. This movie has way too much bland white milquetoast humans, and there's no forgiveness for that. It's just there. I enjoy this movie personally. However, I'm not going to recommend it because it's just not enough. It's just not enough of a Godzilla movie, and it's not the Godzilla movie I really want. And I'm hoping that this new like kaiju franchise that Universal is doing kind of, you know, resolves that with the next movie or movies. So I am optimistic about the future of this franchise, but I don't think this really is going to hold up in comparison to even those in the future, for what, you know, if that makes any sense. But I will actually echo Brian's recommendation of Pacific Rim. It is a dirt stupid movie, and I hated it the first time I saw it. But it is just what you want. It's a bunch of monsters fighting a bunch of robots. It's a straight up Independence Day ripoff, but you know, it gets the job done.
Just what you want.
And so that's where I stand on Godzilla 2014.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to echo a lot of the same stuff with, because you brought up before the whole thing of if they had a lot of fighting in it, it would, you know, it would get dull pretty quickly, which I agree with, but that's why I'm thinking, like, the first time Godzilla showed up, let's have a fight and then be done with this, because we don't need to be 2 hours and 3 minutes. Like, an hour and a half tops. That's all we needed out of this. And you could have, you know, had a fight in there with the guy, and then the guy gets away and meets up with the lady one, and then there's another big fight at the end with the two of them, and kept it interesting and fun and still had all your cool action stuff, and then that's it. We don't need all this other stuff. We don't need five different attempts to get a nuke into the city that don't work. All right.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Yeah. So again, the same thing with the, I don't like these things of here's just a bland person. So you can put yourself in that scenario because there's not much to that person, but we're spending way too much time on them and not enough time on Godzilla, not enough time to make them a character. I don't really end up caring about either at that point. So, eh. I just wanted to see Godzilla doing cool Godzilla stuff, and we don't get nearly enough of that. It is decent enough as a movie. It's well made. It's fairly well paced, and besides some stupidness and some of the annoyances of cutting away to the fight from fights, it is decent. So maybe a one and done, or if you want to, you know, see all of the Kaijuverse or whatever we're calling this, sure, but otherwise it's pretty skippable. I kind of feel like this is the Incredible Hulk to the Marvelverse, where everyone kind of forgets that it's even part of it, and it doesn't really matter, and it doesn't, no one really cares.
Yeah, I mean, when the next Godzilla movie comes out, you're not gonna need to, you know who Godzilla is.
Exactly.
You get it.
And Kong Skull Island, much better place to start. So yeah,
like, I enjoy this version of Godzilla, the monster.
Yeah.
Right.
I enjoyed, for the most, you know, I enjoyed the Mutos. Like, I think the you know, the design is cool. The idea is cool.
Oh, yeah.
I like that they went for Godzilla fighting other monsters than just straight up Godzilla fighting the military.
Right.
But all the stuff around it, yeah, was just too much padding for a movie that didn't need it.
Yeah, even when this came out, I remember saying to people, like, this is enough where I'm excited to see where this universe of movies will go, but it's not the best on its own. It's all right, but not that great. So, light recommend. Yeah, but you could probably skip. I'm not 100% comfortable with Pacific Rim because I have some serious problems with that. As much as I like Del Toro and everything, but
whatever.
You know, but still. No, that's fine. We got the two out of the three, so Pacific Rim.
I think there have been movies we recommended before until we actually watched the movies, and we did not recommend them. Yeah, that might be it.
That's at least one. But yeah, Pacific Rim. We'll put that on the list for now. We'll say that's our recommendation for this week. All right, what else we have for the people, Brian?
It's time to make that roll. See what we watch next.
Roll with it.
And we're going to have Tony start this off.
Do it.
It's a 15.
15 is, oh man. 2012's Men in Black 3.
Okay.
Wow, I don't think I've seen that one.
It's the one with Jermaine in it.
And Thanos.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think I think I saw one and two. I don't think I...
Okay.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, we'll save it for then. But, all right.
I think I was like, nope.
I didn't see it. I don't blame you. But that's... we'll get there. We'll talk about it then.
Not wrong.
But,
Almost. The one before was way better. Yeah.
What was that?
Huh? Well, I don't remember what
the list. Some of the movies on the list, like RoboCop 2.
God damn.
Tremors 2. I mean, that'd be for William. Jurassic Park, Mighty Ducks.
Young Guns too. Young Guns.
Rush Hour. Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker.
Oh my goodness.
Right, but yeah, anyway.
Let's not worry about that. We got Men in Black 3 coming up for our next week's episode. What else we got for the people, Rob?
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. If you like what you heard, please consider subscribing. We have a new episode every week. For our episode archive, merch store, and more information, check out our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. And, of course, you can contact us by following us on Twitter or Facebook at 4ampodcast or email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
All right, so thank you all for joining us for Godzilla. We hope you join with us next week for Men in Black 3. But until then,
deuces.
Jaga, jaga, something, something Japanese.
Good night, everybody.